Good morning and welcome to Power of Attorney Radio. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of legal education for individuals and businesses alike that are focused on helping themselves realize their personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Power of Attorney Radio is brought to you by Odin, Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about our firm, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. And I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where there is a compendium of articles, audio, and video of interest on topics dealing with taxes, estate planning, and business planning. So again, visit blueprintforwealth.org and subscribe to the blog so you can get content delivered to you as it's delivered to the blog. In my never-ending saga of trying to teach my listeners and teach my clients and my friends about business succession planning, we're yet focusing again on how to transfer a family business. Today, instead of focusing on the steps involved, which I recently did on another show, we're going to be focusing on some techniques that we use that you may want to use as a business owner. And you're going to have to decide when is the right time to step out of the family business and how you're going to do it. There's so many estate planning tools that you can use to transfer your business. So selecting the right option is going to depend on whether you plan to retire from the business at some point in time or keep it until you die. Regardless, you may have children, other family members who want to continue the business after you die. Obviously, you're going to want to transfer your business to your successors at its full value instead of some reduced value because you haven't paid attention to the details. With income, gift, and potential estate taxes looming, you need to make and take careful planning techniques. You just involve yourself with planning to prevent some or all of the business assets from being sold to have to pay for these taxes, which will leave less for your beneficiaries. There's always the story of Joe Robbie, who used to own the Miami Dolphins back in the 70s. And when he died, he hadn't done sufficient estate planning. They basically had to sell off massive real estate holdings to pay for estate taxes. And the values that they derived were less than the appraised values that they used for estate taxes. It ended up bankrupting the estate, and the family ended up getting nothing. The IRS got everything. Let's try to avoid that from happening to your family. So do your planning. Some of the more common strategies that we're going to talk about today for minimizing taxes, we'll talk about, but none are without drawbacks. There are drawbacks to each of these techniques, you know, losing control, not getting enough up front from your heirs or from the people who are buying the business or subsidizing your exit. So you've always got to focus on the tax consequences and consult with a professional, a tax professional, as well as your estate planning lawyer to explore all these strategies before you try to implement any of them. Now, you might get some relief under the Internal Revenue Code if you're prepared to begin transferring some of your business interests today to your beneficiaries, to your family members. A systematic gifting program might help you accomplish this and minimize your gift tax liability and therefore minimize any estate tax liability in the future. And this is done by utilizing what's called the annual gift tax exclusion. This year, it's $14,000 per year per recipient. And you can transfer that without incurring gift tax. And if you're married, you can elect to split your gift and transfer twice as much. By transferring a portion of your business in this way, over time, you can manage to transfer a significant portion of the business free from transfer taxes, free from gift tax, and free from estate tax. The disadvantage of relying solely on this method is that it takes a lot of time to accomplish this task if you're giving away a significant valued business in small chunks. There's also another relief section under the Internal Revenue Code, which has become less and less used because it's so difficult. It imposes a lot of constraints on the business. It's known as Section 6166 of the Internal Revenue Code. And it allows any estate taxes that are incurred because you have to include the value of your closely held business in your estate to be deferred for at least 5 years, with interest-only payments for the first 4 years, and then interest plus principal beginning in the fifth year through the 15th year. Then it's paid up over an additional 10 years. So it's a 15-year deferral of estate tax. Sounds great, right? But very few people use this technique because it imposes a lien on the assets that are subject to the estate tax, and which means that you're going to have a difficult time borrowing against those assets while the IRS lien is outstanding. So some advisors advise don't even bother with 6166. Just go ahead and borrow from a bank on the business if you can. Pay off the estate tax so that the lien is extinguished, and then you owe, you know, money to a commercial lender. That might be easier. Another technique that we use is selling your business outright. When you sell your business to a family member or somebody else, you're going to get cash, or you're going to get assets that you can convert into cash and that can be used to maintain your lifestyle or pay your estate taxes. You choose when to sell: now, at your retirement, at death, any time in between, and as long as the sale is for full fair market value of the business, it's not subject to gift tax or estate tax. In other words, some people try to get around this rule by selling a business at less than its full value, and that might be treated as a part gift, part sale for gift taxes, so be careful. If the sale occurs before your death, it may be subject to capital gains tax. If you wait and hold on to the business interest until you die, then you might be able to get a step up in basis to full fair market value, which diminishes the amount of capital gain that might be triggered on the sale. Now, we've talked about buy-sell agreements over and over again on this show, and it's a legal contract that allows you to prearrange the sale of your business interest between you and a willing buyer, which might be your partner, might be another family member, it might be a third party that who's not an owner of the business but you want to bring into the business. And it lets you keep control of your interest until an event occurs that is specified in the buy-sell agreement, such as retirement or disability or death. Other events like divorce also can be included as a triggering event under a buy-sell agreement. In any case, when a triggering event occurs, the buyer has to buy your interest from you for fair market value or some formula price that you've agreed to. The buyer can be a person, it can be a group of other people, co-owners, or it can be the business itself. That would be known as a redemption of your interest. The price and the sale terms should be prearranged. It should be specified in the buy-sell agreement, which eliminates the need for a fire sale if you become ill later on or when you die. So it's all about planning, that's all, prearranging the sale of your business. Remember, you're bound under the buy-sell agreement. You can't sell or give your business to anyone except the person who's named in the agreement without their consent. So this could restrict your ability to reduce the size of your estate by using these lifetime gifts that I was suggesting, unless you carefully coordinate your estate planning goals with the terms of the buy-sell agreement. In other words, if the third-party buyer was expecting to buy 100%, but they're only buying 30% because you've gifted away 70%, that could be a problem for the buyer under the buy-sell agreement. So you have to make sure it's all coordinated. Again, we've talked about this technique before. GRATs and GRUTs, grantor retained annuity trusts and grantor retained unit trusts. It's a more sophisticated business succession planning tool. And these are irrevocable trusts, ones that cannot be changed, to which you're going to transfer assets that are appreciating in value, but still retain some type of income payout for a set period of time, the term of the GRAT, if you will. At the end of the payment period or your death, the assets in the trust then pass to the trust beneficiaries that you've named. It could be family members. It could be another trust, for that matter. The value of your retained income interest is subtracted from the value of the property that you transferred. So if you lived beyond the specified period of the trust, the business ultimately can be transferred to the next generation at a reduced value for estate or gift tax purposes. Another technique that I've used successfully in the past is known as a private annuity. It's a sale of property in exchange for a promise to make payments to you for the rest of your life. Here you're going to transfer complete ownership of your business to family members or a third party who is the buyer. The buyer makes a promise to make periodic payments to you for the rest of your life in the form of an annuity. It could be for one life or two lives, including your spouse. A joint and survivor annuity is the latter example, and that provides you payments until the death of the survivor of whoever's named. Payments continue as long as either the husband or the wife is still alive. Again, because a private annuity is a sale and not a gift, it allows you to remove assets from your estate without incurring gift or estate tax and retain an income stream. You got to be careful with private annuities. There were regulations that were issued recently by the IRS that make it more difficult to use this technique. I've also used a self-canceling installment note, also known as a SCIN, S-C-I-N. It allows you to transfer the business to a buyer, your son or your daughter, in exchange for a promissory note for a period of years at a specified interest rate. However, in the note, it says that if you die before the note is fully paid, it's canceled. That's what makes it self-canceling. The IRS requires you to either increase the interest rate to reflect the risk premium associated with the fact that you might die before the term of the note, or increase the principal balance. And all of this is based on IRS life expectancy tables. It is complicated sounding, but it's actually an easy technique to draft. It just results in a higher interest payout or a higher principal payout. Lastly, family limited liability companies. You can put your business interest into a limited liability company and then transfer the LLC interest to your heirs at a discounted rate. These and other techniques are available to transfer family businesses at below fair market value in terms of being able to achieve valuation discounts, but you still get a stream of income perhaps from the sale using private annuities, promissory notes, and other techniques. If you'd like to know more about these techniques, give us a call at 703-218-2177. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Power of Attorney Radio.